Good evening. So tonight I'm going to be giving a talk that I gave at Murray Road back at the Memorial Day meeting, and I apologize if you were there. This may be a bit of a review for you, but Randy had asked me when we were there to maybe do it at Smart Road sometime. Amanda, I think when I gave this the first time, clocked me in about 40 minutes, so 6:30 here we come. But I'll try to be quick. So tonight I would like to talk about methods of studying the Bible. I'll be speaking from 1 and 2 Timothy, so if you'd like to turn with me there, that's where we'll start, and I appreciate Phil for reading that for us. These two books are a great example of how we should live as Christians, and very important for understanding how we should behave with interactions toward one another, as well as how we should consider and respect the Word of God. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I'm going to base my thoughts this evening around this passage. Paul gave Timothy, I believe, the basis for how we should study God's Word, and out of this, I'm going to address three points: reading, organization of our thoughts, and finding a conclusion under the idea of methods of studying the Bible. So 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And as we see in verse 13, till I come to give attendance to reading, and that is the first thing I would like to address this evening, is regular readings. Something that I think should be a rock of our faith is our regular Bible readings. Consider the soldier who we are compared with in the end of Ephesians. All parts of our armor of God is built upon the knowledge of His Word. If we are soldiers of God, our study prepares us more and more for that fight on the battlefield. If we take this analogy one step further, I think we can say that our daily readings would be our daily exercise or our practice. We keep our skills and our minds sharp with this tool. We may not be able to study every day, but 10 minutes of reading gets your mind in the right place. So our goal of learning God's Word starts here. So what kind of reading should we do? The primary purpose of this basic step is to spend time with God, as we see in James 4:8, draw near to the Lord, and He will draw near to you. It is not the type, but the time, so simply setting up a reading schedule may be appropriate in this situation. Anything can be read during this time, but perhaps a reading list would be appropriate. Something your congregation is studying at the time, a personal study you are working on, etc. Anything can fall into this category. It is important to read, and it is also very important to pay attention to what you're reading. Consider the important psalm it placed in the subject. Entire chapters of Proverbs are dedicated to the search after knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Something that I would like to personally recommend, if you haven't done already, will be to try to read through the entire Bible from beginning to end. This can be somewhat of a difficult undertaking, and I personally am still only working on this, but I can tell you that it has made a great difference for me in understanding how God's message is put together. The lesser read parts of the Bible can be difficult and challenging, but with God's help, we can understand His Word and have a better knowledge of how we'd live our lives. This brings me to my second point in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we can see that just as important to our readings is asking God for guidance within it. We know from 2 Peter 1:3 that the Bible contains all the direction we need. It is our responsibility to search it out. As we go further along in our discussion, keep this in the back of your mind. Prayer should be the driving force in our study time, and this counts for all portions of study, from start to finish. We should rely on God for guidance, as this was Paul's direction for Timothy. In our main passages that we read earlier, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, as we see in verse 15 of 1 Timothy 4. So remember to ask for guidance. God has blessed His family with the Holy Spirit, and we know from Christ's message that He is there to direct and guide us. With this, we have a good basis to start towards the understanding of God's plan for us as Christians, as well as we fit into His bigger plan of salvation. After this, it is simply a point of making it a habit in our lives. If you haven't yet, I promise that you will see an amazing growth in your strength, faith, and understanding of God's Word. Read, pray, and meditate on God's message and will grow as Paul promised Timothy. A quick note on meditation. Webster's primary definition is classified as to engage in contemplation or reflection. Another way of thinking this, in my opinion, is involved self-examination. Meditation is not necessarily prayer. It can involve prayer, but it is a quiet time of consideration with the Scripture, your life, God's message, and how they relate. Before we get into the next section, which is organization of our thoughts, I'd like to consider for a moment how our minds work. As humans, God has blessed us with very inquisitive minds. The Lord has challenged us with the Scriptures to make an effort to learn more about Him. The Bible has varying levels of difficulty for a reason, so that no matter how experienced we are with the Scriptures, there will always be something we can learn and strive to understand better. As new members of the congregation, it may be difficult to try and tackle the end of Daniel or an entire portion of Revelations on your own. Just in the same, an elder wouldn't necessarily need to be retaught the basic concepts of Scripture. We'll have moved on to more weightier matters of the Word, as we are told to do in Hebrews chapter 6. Since this is the case, most members will be taking on different topics, ideas, and concepts with wide variations in complexity and difficulty in a single congregation at any point in time. However, this does not leave us at a loss for understanding a good general method for studying God's Word, because even though we may be studying different topics, we can all learn from each other's study habits. The one thing that is important, no matter what the topic, is our organization, how we keep our information together and in an understandable manner. So when we address that subject, no matter the context or topic, no matter what, these ideas will benefit anyone working to understand God's message better. So let me summarize that real quick. Even though we will be studying different topics, if we focus on how we study, we will... Even though we will be studying different topics, if we focus on how we study, as well as how we organize our information, we will be able to take what we have learned and apply it to any study topic or situation. I think we can agree that any person in this room will learn slightly different than anyone else. The reason being is because our minds learn differently. And this may seem like a simple idea, but think about it. Some people's minds collect information more easily from their eyes. Everything they see, they can record fairly easily. Some people remember melodies, rhythms, and speeches just like they had written them themselves. And others can tell you how to break down an automobile or even build a beautiful and create a beautiful quilt very easily. Most teachers will probably agree that there are three major different learning styles: visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Each person will have a different ranking for each style. For instance, you may be a kinesthetic learner first, visual second, and auditory may mean very little to you. Depending on how you learn, you should try to adjust your study methods to take advantage of your mind's gifts. Some people tend not to care where the information comes from or in what form. Others have great difficulty if it is not in the form they tend to be used to. None is better than any other, but I do think it is important to understand the mind of God has blessed us with and use its capabilities to the fullest. Most people tend to be visual learners. A visual learner pulls in information from what they see. And a good way to gauge this is if your teacher used projector slides in school or visual information. If so, you probably fall into the category being one of your first two. Auditory learners pick up information from what they hear. If you tended to care more about what your teacher said and how they said it than anything else, then you probably lean towards this method. Lastly, if hearing and auditory didn't mean much to you and you simply wanted to try the idea yourself, you are probably a kinesthetic or tactile learner. So knowing this, let's talk about how we should study and organization of our thoughts. Verse 14 of 1 Timothy 4, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." When Paul wrote this message to Timothy, he was speaking in reference to a spiritual gift that Timothy had received. Even though today we do not have spiritual gifts, I think this idea is applicable to us as well. We should pay attention to the abilities and talents that we have been given personally, giving preference to those and using them to the best of our abilities so that they are a better tool for the Lord in the future and can help us learn from His Word better also. So first, let's develop an organization system that may work for you. Every person will be a little bit different than the next, and most of this we'll learn from trial and error, or from our parents who tend to probably have the same learning style as you do. Visual learners often benefit from detailed noting systems. When listening to a sermon, write down as much as you can while still watching the person. We probably also gather a lot of information about what the person will say from how they look when they say it. Visual organizers will probably be very useful to you. I really appreciate these. They help me get my thoughts spread out and ideas organized. Use outlines as much as you possibly can. Web graphs make a big difference as well. It seems trivial, but to me, there is something about drawing lines between concepts that helps me think and get my ideas out to spread out. So when studying ideas with hierarchies, use trees to draw connections and so on and so forth. Lastly, if you want to memorize something in the Bible, write it down. Turn over with me for just a moment to Deuteronomy 17, 18. Also it shall be, when he sits on his throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of the law in the book, from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of the laws and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, and that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. It seems to me pretty significant that God required the kings of Israel to write out the law in verse 18 instead of going directly to verse 19, so that when they reread what they had already wrote, it registers all those visual memories that were cemented in their mind when they originally wrote the message in the first place. I think this works the same with us, especially if you respond most towards visual styles of learning. Auditory learners don't benefit necessarily so much from writing things down for the sake of understanding them, but mostly for the purpose of referencing what they have heard in the past. Reading the Bible out loud can often help you understand passages better if you are an auditory learner. Hearing yourself saying something is better often than hearing it in your mind's voice. You probably benefit a lot from getting in groups and discussing the Bible, making comments during Bible studies. Having your question answered verbally will help you gain a better understanding of something you struggle with. And if you don't like to speak in large groups, or in our lady's case, if you feel uncomfortable with speaking in large groups, try to find someone who you feel comfortable studying with. It may seem a little strange, but if you learn best from talking and listening, finding a forum where it is most comfortable will be very useful for you. Kinesthetic learners like to work on stuff. They learn best not from sitting and listening, or from watching, but from doing. If your mind strongly favors this method, you may find that you are easily distracted during sermons. Taking notes during sermons will help you stay on task and is a great way to increase retention of other people's messages, no matter what your learning style. And this is kind of a side, I thought this was kind of interesting. Kinesthetic learners like to read how-to books. So, I thought that was kind of funny, but anyways. That's usually their preferred type of book. I don't know, I just thought it was kind of funny. So, now that I've totally broken my train of thought, you'll also probably find a lot of benefit from using bulletin chalkboards or whiteboards, visual outlines, things of that sort, but making them more of a physical method of kind of moving things around. Say if you have a chalkboard and you can take different ideas and draw web outlines and things like that instead of just doing it down on paper. Often kinesthetic learners learn from that the best simply because it requires to kind of get their hands involved as opposed to seeing something or hearing something specifically. So one other thing about kinesthetic learning that is sometimes worth mentioning is, and sometimes can seem a little bit counterproductive, is that listening to music can often be a beneficial thing for you. Kinesthetic learners tend to, and I am actually kind of the same way on this, be very connected to the things that are going on around them. So if you listen to music, it can kind of create an auditory barrier between you and everything that's going on around you. Even in a quiet room, it's easy to get distracted. So that's something that I tend to have to do a lot because
tend to get distracted easily. So.
Okay, so after you've established a system that works well for you, remember, it is not a single effort to set up a system, but an evolving process that will grow more efficient if you spend time working on it. Pay attention to where your mind gathers information and try to incorporate that into your overall process. You are not one of the three styles, but also always a mixture of all three, and you will gain value from trying and pulling from all three different methods. You are not just learning, but learning how to learn. I referenced this in the earlier in my talk, and actually I didn't, excuse me, because I skipped over it. But one of the things that applies in any situation is keeping records. Your mind will change as you get older. And so the way that you think about things today may not necessarily be the way that you thought about them in the past. So if you keep things organized, referencing old sermons, study notes, organization tools will relight old ideas that you had in your head and give you a different way of looking at them, seeing as the way you looked at it then is not necessarily the way you looked at it now. A file system may work well for you in this situation. You can organize a file system however you want, by books of the Bible, by date, by how it looked at the time. Really doesn't necessarily matter. What does matter is how you think that you will think of something when you're trying to find it. And if you can organize things in that method, you'll always be able to find it easier. So, one thing to remember out of all of this, no matter how you develop a learning style, is that the work that you do, or that I do, or that any of us do, in studying the Bible is going to be one of our greatest contributions to our future generations. So when we work on studying the Bible, and when we learn from it, the notes that we take and the information that we glean from it, I believe we should be very serious about, just because what we glean, what we gather, is going to be something that we can pass on to our future generations and will be a benefit just as much to them as it is to us, so that they can build on our learning and on our understanding. So finally, in my conclusion here, verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Webster defines a term that I would like to consider here for just a few moments. And the term is mental synthesis. And the definition of this term is the creation of a construct, the process of combining ideas into congruous object of thought. This is what most people consider the highest level of mental thought. This is the ability that God has blessed humans with alone. Of any animal or thing on the earth, God has blessed humans with the ability of mental synthesis opposed to any other being or animal in the world. And obviously humans are not necessarily animals, but I hope you get my meaning. The ability to take his word and make a decision for ourselves what it means. Often people compare this to industrial construction as an example to give you an idea of what it's talking about. Or taking two sets of materials and creating a new independent product. From a mental perspective, when we are given a proof and a promise by God, he expects us to take the proof, analyze it, and consider what the promise is and requires of us, and then trust in its fulfillment. The materials in this example are the proof and the promise, and the product is the trust in the Lord concerning that promise. We see many examples of this in the Scripture, and I'd like to take a few moments here to look at situations where this has been the case. And starting in the New Testament in Ephesians 5 and 15, See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The word there in the Greek for the word understand in verse 17 is suiame, I believe is how it's pronounced. The Strong's number for that is 4920, and it defines the word as put together, mentally to comprehend, and by implication to act piously, consider, understand, and be wise. When we use this word here, verse 17, Paul is exhorting them to analyze that information that we have been given by the apostles and by God, coming to a decision on its truth and then acting upon it to change our lives. And why? Because the days are evil. We must be prepared with an understanding of the word of the Lord. The only way that we will achieve this is by using the mind that God has given us, the skills that we develop to harness it. Usually, when you see some form of understand or consider used in the New Testament, is this Greek word being interpreted. Excuse me. And to illustrate this one other way, in Luke 8 and 10, and he said, unto you it is given the knowledge and the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Christ was saying here that the parables were a barrier between his disciples hearing and the ability to comprehend the message. Christ didn't expect them to understand the message because they were not given all the parts needed to construct the conclusion on what the parable meant. They were given the parable, but not the interpretation. Without all of these materials needed in construction, they cannot yet make the connection to truly understand what Christ meant in his parables. On the flip side of that, the apostles were given the interpretation and the understanding of the parables, so they had both of those things, so they could take that information and create a new product and understanding what the parable meant in reference to Christ's kingdom. So, hopefully that gives you maybe a better idea of what I mean by that. When we look at the Old Testament in Hebrew, there are lots of words used for understanding and considering, much more than in the Greek from what I have found, but the root word here is bine, and I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, but it's B-I-Y-N, and the Strong's number for that is 995, which is actually probably more worthwhile than the pronunciation anyways. The definition of the word means to separate mentally or to distinguish. And when you read through Proverbs or Psalms, this word takes the place of understanding, prudent, diligent, and consider. So, for the most part, so it does come up a lot. One specific location that I would like to consider, though, is actually not in Proverbs or Psalms. It's in Daniel 9 and 1. In the first year of Darius the son of Assyrius, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood, there's that word, by books of the numbers of the years, wherefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keep the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Daniel shows here a good example, I think, of what we're talking about. We all see all the portions of what we have talked about. Daniel read, he examined the information, and then he came up with his product, that their punishment and bondage should finish soon. He then took it upon himself to pray to the Lord, meditate, and humble himself before God. Remember here, though, in this situation, that Daniel didn't get it right, and we necessarily won't either. So it is a growing process and something that we must work on. In conclusion, it is the effort and the work that God desires from us. As we study and become better scholars of the Scripture, we keep our findings close at hand, and when it is time for our children to take on their journey with the Bible, we leave them with the information that we've discovered and teach them how to develop their own learning style, after which they can build yet again, as I said before, on our knowledge. We leave nothing behind but what we give to those who will be here after us. What better gift can there be but our gleanings from the Scriptures? I'll go ahead and close with that this evening. Thank you for your time. It is customary this evening that we do offer the gospel invitation. If you are not a member of God's body, as Peter said, Acts 2:38, that we are to be repent and be baptized, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you have not been baptized, then it is your responsibility to understand God's word and come to a decision on what you will do with your life. We pray and we hope that you will consider God as the Lord and Christ as your Savior, and if that be the case, that you would come forward this evening, if that be your will.